one, let's ask a question. It seems to me in reading the book of John, right, it's one way or the other. Is there's no green line, okay, you know, you might be there, you know, they might be there. But it's like, if you're in the light, you're in the light, and if you're in the dark, you're in the dark. Could someone please expound that a little bit?
Are you just a question when you're talking about fellowship and the light?
No, I'm what I'm asking, from what I notice is that I notice that.
Yeah, if you're walking in the darkness, walking in the light, when you're saved, right here, you see the light.
Yeah.
You walk in that light.
Yeah.
And now say I sin, and I don't confess it to God. The darkness now in my life. If I confess that to God and walk, and I'm walking the light, you know, we come together, we got to bring our sins and confess them. You know, you should confess them when you do them. You know, when you come together, you can break bread, confess those to God so you can have fellowship with Him. Because He sees in the heart, and that's what we're talking here, is in our heart, and He talks about truth. If I know the truth and I go and break the law, well, I've sinned. And I got to confess that. If I'm trying to hide it, well, then I'm walking in darkness. And then until I do confess it, I walk in darkness. And God does not show me no more light. I can read the Bible all you want, but you got to get right with God before you can grow first, right? I think that's what it's talking here. I can have fellowship with one another and with Him. We have to walk in the light. And when we guess we sin, we got to acknowledge that sin and confess it to Him. He forgives us from all those sins. And that's how we can walk in the light. Like daily we stumble, we fall, because we do sin. But when we confess that, then we have fellowship with Him. Is that kind of what you're asking?
If that's what it says in verse 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then in verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not within us. Which is something what our brother said.
Yeah. Just to go back to your point, I'm not sure if I can answer it properly, but that's an observation I've made as well. It's that in his writings, they're either here or there. So that's the observation of the support. No. Something that comes out of this that speaks to my heart is this, that we live in a day today where there are some people who profess to be Christians and who go about living oftentimes similar to how the rest of the world operates. And I'm speaking of in any generation, in any age group, but this generation that you're dealing with is one that is exposed to a lot of this. That there are people who are, you know, cohabitating and all this sort of stuff. And that if you speak to them, they say, you know, I believe in Jesus. And what we're saying here is that if you say that you have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, you be light and do not practice the truth. So that is to put that all away, that sort of stuff is wrong. If we belong to Christ, if we really are born again, there should be some evidence in our lives that we belong to the Lord Jesus. That's really one of the big things I'm seeing today, that there are people who profess to be saved but are living totally contrary to the Word of God. And this is in many mainstream churches, that there is a certain lifestyle that we know is contrary to the Word of God. And yet, these folks will say, I believe in Jesus. And that we are supposed to accept that type of behavior as being as okay, because society accepts it as okay. And John says, if he was alive, he said, no, that's not true. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth.
Yeah, I think that sense of absoluteness, either black or white, you know, that's again what he was bringing out in verse 5. You know, God is light, in Him there's no darkness at all. If you hold God as the standard,
right,
and you compare everything to that, then that's what God is. God is perfect, God is light, there's no darkness. And so there has to be absolution. You can't, you know, if God is our standard, we can't start talking about gray areas and so on, because our standard has shown us this is how things ought to be. And even what you're saying about things that are accepted in certain churches and so on, I was thinking about that when you first made the comment about how God is presented as light here first and not say as God is love, because I know a lot of people use that as a justification. Well, God is love, so He'll accept this and He'll accept that. And, you know, I think that's also another reason why it's presented as light here, so you can see the truth, and then you can compare that to what is not of the light, what is sin, what is darkness, and you can see that, you know, you can't have those things in that sphere, because God is light, God is truth, and this is the standard that we have before us.
I would like to encourage us. We have about 12 minutes. I would like to encourage us that we need to move on. And maybe there's some points that will sum this up, and then we'll move on.
I think to help us move on, I think what's very critical, what comes out in the balance of chapter 1, is the standard is God is light. That's where we live. Mm-hmm. And it's our lives are constantly in the light. And so the challenge is that when I do sin, that I'm very conscious of the light that I've done it in. I've done this in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. One author says, uses the Latin word, coram Deo, that everything I do is in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And so the absolute comments here are, if you're practicing unrighteousness, darkness, mm-hmm. works of darkness, the question is whether you've even ever been exposed to light. Because if you've been exposed to the light, your conscience is going to get to you. And then the beautiful thing that John says is we have someone who is able to sustain us to live at that level in the light.
Yeah.
It's the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, from every sin. And then you get into chapter 2, and I'm making a major jump here, for you, brothers, is that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So John is not being naive to say that, well, we all live in the light and we're all going to be perfect. No, he's very much conscious of the fact that sin dwells in us and we will fail and we will fall. But the evidence of one who has truly been living in the light is that they run to the place of confession and claim and delight in the provision that God has made, that the Lord Jesus Christ has made, that he has set himself aside to be an advocate, a patron, a paraclete, one who comes to the aid. Why? Because I live in the very conscious reality that God is light and everything's exposed before him. When I was a kid, my grandmother used to always warn us when we left the house, thou God seest me. Because, you know, as kids, right, you know, you do things and then you don't do things when your parents are around because you think your parents are going to see you. Mm-hmm. And she was always reminding us, God sees you. And that's really what John is saying. We live and we walk now in the light. Whatever we're doing is in the light. We're bringing trash, dirt, our dirty laundry. We bring in our dirty behavior in the light of God. And he says, if that's a constant practice, you're really not there. But if it's something that you do, let's look at that in chapter 2, and I know we jumped ahead, but it's okay. In chapter 2, it says in verse 1, if any man sin. If any man sin. The reality for us who are possessors of eternal life is that sin isn't a given. Sinning isn't a given. And that's, I mean, I remember the first time I kind of came across it, I was like, what it does, it takes your attention away from yourself and sees the resources that God has given us. And it says, if. That means, should it happen? Mm-hmm. But the possibility of living in the faith, in the light of, walking in the light and to be without failing is a possibility. But the reality is we have sin rolling us. So if we do sin, we have an advocate. We have one to whom we can cling to, can claim, can rely on, because he is going to keep us in the conditions necessary to remain in this sphere of light, to walk in with God and have fellowship with him.
I know time is short for us right now, but one of the things that comes out in chapter 2, verse 1 is, my little children. Now we're going to see that phrase, children, referred to a number of times in the epistle, and it has different meanings. And I think my understanding here is that this is a term for the entire family.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the entire family as such, as opposed to the little ones, large ones, and so on. So I think that's a point that I just want to bring here. This is a place to everybody in the entire family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could we go back to that point about the Lord Jesus being our advocate with the Father, a patron? You mentioned paraclete, patron, all those types of terms. He's representing us before the Father. Should we fall into sin? That's what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
I read it somewhere else, like the Holy Spirit is at work in us on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing the work in heaven.